Hello and welcome to another jam-packed episode of My Favorite Conservative. I am Edward.
And I am Andrea, but I am not conservative.
Oh, you're not?
No, but he is my favorite conservative.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh. You already knew that.
It's nice to hear it.
So we normally start each show until the election with the latest polling. But since I'm in Hawaii right now, we had to pre-record this episode for you.
Aloha.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. So I hope you're having fun. Are you getting a tan?
I hope I am too.
I'm going to guess you're not getting a tan.
Okay. Now you're just making fun of me. No. When this show airs, I will be taking a tour of Oahu.
Oahu. Yes. Wait. You're not pulling a Joe and Mika, are you?
What do you mean?
So Joe Scarborough and yes. Mika Brzezinski.
I know they're together.
Married couple. Yeah. They both host Morning Joe in the morning.
I know who they are. But what
I'm setting it up for the viewers or listeners if they don't on MSNBC. And a couple of weeks ago on a Friday, it was after Biden's horrible debate performance. And Joe was basically throwing in the towel. And Mika was pissed at him for throwing in the towel, you know, saying it's over with Biden. And you could tell the tension on the set was palpable. And so come Monday morning on their next show, all of a sudden, Joe's on vacation by himself for a week without his wife. And it was just, everybody's like, wait a minute, you know, what's going
on? Am I leaving you to do a show by yourself?
Not that I'm aware of. That's what I was wondering.
No.
Okay.
You know I'm there for work.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, have fun working.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Now I have something for my eye for the people who are watching on camera. Okay. Yeah. So what is our exciting show going to be about today?
Well, we are actually going to revisit a topic from earlier this year. And the
one of our viewers suggested it too.
Yeah. They asking questions. And the reason that we're going to do it is the Democrats are using this as a boogeyman for the entire campaign, and this is Project 2025.
Okay, we're not going to go over the entire 950-page document, are we?
As fun as that would be.
No, it would not be fun.
We won't, but I actually want to highlight a number of things that the media is missing, misrepresenting, that sort of thing to it. So Project 2025, it's a collection of conservative and right-wing policy proposals published by the Heritage Foundation to, their scare quotes, reshape the United States federal government and consolidate power should Donald Trump win the 2024 presidential election. That was actually how Wikipedia described it. So,
really?
Yes, the consolidating power for Donald Trump. And
okay, for those who don't know, what is the Heritage Foundation?
Heritage Foundation, it's a conservative think tank.
Right.
Just like the Tides Foundation is for the left and a bunch of others that they have out there. They put together policy papers. And so what they decided to do starting a couple of years ago, they said, if we get a conservative back in power, we need to be ready. And we need to be ready with policy. We need to be ready with personnel. And that's what this entire document is. And
I just want to interject here, a conservative in power wasn't specific to Trump per se.
Correct. I mean, obviously they had Trump in mind because he has been the front runner ever since he lost in 2020. Yeah. But yeah, so when Trump came in 2016, he was such an outsider. He had no idea how to fill the spots. And a lot of these people stabbed him in the back and went around him, leaked and everything else. And so why this is 950 plus pages is because this is a document that assesses every single federal agency that we have. This is just federal. This has nothing to do with state and local governments whatsoever.
Okay.
And what they're trying to do, the goal is to reduce the size of the federal government and get back to what the original framers of the Constitution had in mind. You know,
I'm just going to say as a libertarian, I'm for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't care whether a policy is good or bad. If it's not constitutional, if the government isn't empowered to do it, federal government, we shouldn't be doing it. It should be done at the closer to the local levels. And that's what our Constitution is based on, making sure that we keep our decisions that affect our daily lives as close to us as possible.
Right.
That was, they were huge on that concept. There was, they did not want or anticipate this huge monolith of a federal government.
Right, because that would too closely resemble a monarchy.
Correct. Absolutely.
So why don't you tell people what Schedule F is? Because I find this really fascinating.
Yeah, Schedule F is an actual government policy, or it's actual proposal that would let the president and the executives be able to fire people in the federal government. Right now, it is incredibly difficult to fire somebody.
Yes. And that's why people want federal jobs, because once you get in, it's almost impossible to get you out.
Right. And so what happens is the State Department, for example, and tons of other government agencies are just have been loaded and loaded and loaded by so many Democrat presidents. And these people will stay in these positions for 30 years. And they don't particularly care what a new president's agenda is. Right. They have their own agenda. And they say, you know what, you're only going to be here 4 years or 8 years. I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. They don't understand that they're employees. They're not policymakers. And that's one of the huge things with Schedule F, is being able to fire. And actually what they do, this actual way they do it, is the president would be able to reclassify certain employees as actual political appointees, of which he would then be able to fire. And so
wait. So that doesn't get rid of the problem that we can't fire federal employees.
Well, it would, because Trump can go into any agency and say, you're acting as a political appointee because you're not carrying out my wishes.
But I don't like that, because that reclassification is what gives them permission to fire. You should be able to fire anyone who's not doing the job.
This is a way to be able to fire federal employees. That's the very bottom line. You have to just reclassify them and get them out the
door. Okay, well, I have to say, for the people in Schedule F is part of the Project 2025, right?
Correct.
Okay. I just want to say to the people who put this together, I think that's a workaround.
Well, it is, but the problem is you'd have to get a law passed, and unless you're carrying supermajorities in both House and the Senate, it's not going to happen.
But that is crazy. You're an employee, and if you don't do your job, you should be fired.
Oh, that's so cute.
What? Okay, don't be condescending.
No, I'm just saying. I know. I'm just kidding with you.
Okay.
Even though you're in Hawaii. No, but that's a very, unfortunately, naive way that we as normal people think.
Yes.
Right. I mean, all of us think, hey, if you're not doing the job, you should be fired.
Yes.
But it doesn't work like that in government, and especially the federal government.
Well, I'm just saying, if they want to take this to the next level, they need to really think about that. I'm sorry. They do.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get a federal job and be able to keep it no matter what.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Now, another part of this that's going to get probably even more airtime from the left is...
Is this what I'm supposed to be talking about next?
Nope.
Oh.
I'm riffing here.
Oh, you're riffing.
Yes.
Sorry. Can you continue riffing?
Thank you. So the left, as I said earlier, this is going to be... This Project 2025 is going to be the boogeyman. And in Project 2025, they question the abortion drug that women can now get through the mail in every state in the country. All you got to do is send away for it. And the left is saying that the right, with this Project 2025, will outlaw abortions. That is not true. What this is questioning is the drug, and I can't remember the name, I should have written it down here, the drug that facilitates these abortions used to be, it had to be under the supervision of a physician.
And you would want it to be under the supervision of a physician.
However, in Biden's administration, they changed that to that pregnancy is now considered an illness. And because it's now considered an illness, that allows the women to order this online from around the world, whatever, and get it. And so you want to talk about a workaround? Yeah. Pregnancy is not an illness. No, I mean, I know a lot of people suffer some illnesses during it, but.
Well, the other thing about this is the whole, let me rephrase, abortion is now down to the states again.
Correct.
If you're able to broadly order this, and you're not talking about Plan B, you're talking about something different, right, this abortion pill, that's across state lines. That's in federal. Yeah. And so right there is in complete conflict with where, you know, where the whole idea has been referred back to the states. But I do find this very, very troubling, because while I firmly believe that women should have the right to abortion, and I firmly believe most women don't want to have to make that choice, you do want to be under the supervision of a doctor. Correct. When you choose to do it. I mean, to me, ordering a pill like that, why not order just fentanyl through the mail? I mean, it's crazy.
To me, it almost has the hallmarks of the COVID vaccine, where what the right, if you will, in Project 2025 is concerned about is, because it was kind of rushed through to be this amazing drug that you could give you an abortion, it hasn't been completely tested across the country, across the world, actually. And we're rushing into this, just like we're now seeing all of these incredible side effects from the COVID vaccines, air quotes, vaccines and everything else. So I would like to err on the side of caution. Pregnancy is not an illness. It's a condition. Right. You're with child.
And you need to be under supervision.
Yeah. And so many of these,
whether you decide to keep the child or not.
Yeah. These young women are taking this drug in their own house. They're then going to the toilet, going to the bathroom and
having the
miscarriage. And a lot of times what's happening is
they'll bleed out.
Well, that and not everything's coming out.
Yes.
And you're leaving particles of a unborn child in you. And which, again, we have to study this further.
Yes.
And
I agree with that.
So that's what the whole, don't believe the whole propaganda that's going on, that the right's going to outlaw abortion because of this. It is a state's issue, but that's what this is all about. So,
okay.
Yeah.
This past Wednesday, the time of this recording, so maybe about 10 days ago, the House passed the acronyms, guys, come on. The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, or SAVE Act.
I like that one.
It's clever.
That's a good one.
It's clever. It's sponsored by Chip Roy of Texas. It would require, when people register to vote, that they must prove they are U.S. citizens, because many states are now issuing driver's licenses to illegals, and that's considered a document that they can present to vote. It's so easy in California, just former Californian here, so easy to get a driver's license without being a citizen. Only 5 Democrats, we don't have their names here, crossed the aisle to vote for it. The Senate may take it up. And of course, President Biden pledges he will veto it if it passes in the Senate. Why would he do that, Edward?
Gosh, I just don't know why. But let's backtrack just a little bit here. So the left and the media, which is the same thing, they are promoting this as they're trying to shut down people at the voting booths. That's the end of your voting journey, if you will. This is when you register to vote, you need to prove you're an American citizen. That is not a difficult concept.
No, it's
right?
not, because only U.S. citizens should be voting.
I got a feeling in every other country in the world.
Oh, absolutely.
You actually have to prove that you are a citizen, not just live there, but you are a citizen.
Yeah. I can't live in Australia and vote there. They're
no,
not gonna let
you
me.
Can't vote in Mexico if you wanted to.
No.
And what always just gets me is the left will always say, well, there's very few incidents of voter fraud. Well, if you don't actually investigate, which they never do, you're not going to get very many cases. You know, they try to say so many people vote, so many million people voted, and there were only this many cases. Well, yeah, again, if you don't have some safeguards in place where you do full investigations and people get actually fined and sent to jail, you're going to keep getting this over and over and over. So don't get fooled by this is, you know, you got to do ID at the voting booth, which you should anyway. You should have to provide,
you should have to provide ID.
That you are a citizen. Yeah. Just again, just another way to all the illegals that are coming in now to get them on the voting rolls. And that's what's going to happen. And that's the end, the end goal for the left.
So I just want to say to our audience, because several of you have had questions about Project 2025, if you have any more thoughts or questions, go to myfavoriteconservative.show. You can either email us directly or you can even leave a voicemail for us. And we would be happy to answer those questions either live on the air or perhaps in our locals community, which I will get to momentarily.
Okay.
All right. So this weekend wins.
Yes, we got to win.
We got to win. And by the way, when we say this week, it might not have happened this week as we are pre-recording this, but this is definitely a win. It's from Carolyn Jones at calmatters.org. So give us the title, Edward.
Headline.
Yes.
Trump-appointed judges revive lawsuit against LA schools' COVID vaccine mandate. Now, just for the record, calmatters.org is a left-wing publication. So I made sure we didn't go with Fox or whatever, but you can tell in the headlines, Trump-appointed judges immediately. Go ahead.
And you wanted me to talk about this. So I used to work for LA Unified, which is
school district, right?
Yes, yes. LA Unified School District, which was the second largest school district in the country. So here we go with it. Even though Los Angeles Unified dropped its COVID vaccine mandate for school staff almost a year ago, the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled on Friday that a lawsuit accusing the district of violating workers' rights can still proceed. The 2-1 ruling by a pair of federal judges, again, appointed by former President Donald Trump, revives a case that a lower court had dismissed. It also counters recent rulings by courts, including the Ninth Circuit, that tossed lawsuits challenging expired COVID-19 rules on the grounds that the policies were no longer in effect. This is where it gets a little interesting. The judges in the majority wrote that this case was different, because they found LA Unified demonstrated a pattern of withdrawing and reinstating its vaccination policies over the course of the lawsuit. That does not surprise me in the least. The LA Unified School District is such a mass of bureaucracy. It's unbelievable. And here's a quote. "No one with any credibility would tell you that the vaccine prevented COVID or stopped the spread," said John Howard, a San Diego attorney who argued the case on behalf of a handful of Los Angeles Unified employees and an Idaho-based group called the Health Freedom Defense Fund that's filed several other COVID vaccine lawsuits. And again, this is from the attorney, John Howard. "But when the hysteria was going on, that's exactly what pharmaceutical companies and others said," Howard said. "It was false." So I think this will be interesting to see. I don't live in California anymore. I haven't worked for LA Unified in, I want to say, like 20 years, maybe not quite 20. But it's messy. It's really messy.
It is. Now, this was the 2-1 ruling. So this was that when you present a case to the Ninth Circuit or any circuit court, they do a little mini thing of three judges. They voted to go ahead and hear the entire case. So now it's going to go to the full. Now, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is the farthest left
by a
long shot that we have in the entire country. So if this pans out, I hope it does, that all of these companies, organizations, whatever, that fired people on grounds that, you know, about the COVID vaccine, I think this... they're not going to let them just rely on the defense of, oh, gee, we didn't know kind of thing.
Well, I think the key point was they kept withdrawing and then reinstating their vaccination policies. You know, so you don't need a vaccination. No, yes, you do need a vaccination. No, you don't need a vaccination. I mean, that inconsistency right there might help the people prevail.
Yeah. So this was hopefully more than a temporary win.
Yes.
But we hope that continues.
It could be a precedent for future cases.
Could be.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
All right. We don't have this week in WTF because we already had it last week when former President Trump was almost assassinated. So we don't have that, but we do have a great This Week in Woke.
Yeah, this is from Ann Carnes at the New York Times.
May I do the headline?
Please, headline.
All right, headline. Even if they didn't apply, some students get college admission offers. When Edward brought this up, I thought he was joking. Give it to us, Edward.
Let's go to the article. Some high school seniors have already received offers of admission to college for the next academic year, even though they didn't formally apply.
Can we stop right there?
Well, I love the word formally. They didn't apply.
Can we just stop right there? Yeah. Okay, talk about giving Gen Z a break. You did not even have to apply. The college admission process is expensive and time-consuming and exhausting. And talk about an easy pass. All right,
continues. Under so-called direct admission programs increasingly being tried by states, colleges and third-party services, seniors in high school who meet, ready for this, minimum academic qualifications are receiving unsolicited notifications of admission. Once they are identified as qualifying candidates, the students can complete an often simplified online application.
So I think that the thing that really gets me here is the third-party services.
Yeah.
That's always a big red flag,
yep.
Right? And what are these minimum academic qualifications? What, you're going to graduate from high school? You have a 2.0? I mean, what are these minimum
qualifications? Now, I do understand that it's kind of like a mailer that goes out, right? Like you get the thing in the credit card stuff in the mail. You may already be qualified for $50,000 line of credit.
But
right?
That's for a credit card,
not
for college.
But I do understand a little bit because...
You do?
Well, yeah, because a lot of times, you know, sending out applications and the fees, right? Aren't they like $150 each or something like that? Or even probably more by now.
I only applied to 3 colleges because I could not afford.
So a lot of people can't afford to apply more than 1 or 2 colleges.
Yeah.
You know, it is not economically feasible for them. So I can understand that they get something that says, hey, we love you. We'd like you here.
I'm sorry. No.
All right. I'm trying.
I know. No. There's a reason it's This Week in Woke.
I don't think Harvard sends this out, do they?
Yeah. And to me, this just screams of almost predatory lending that's what it does. It's like, oh, you qualify and you can apply. Oh, and here's your tuition. I mean, and I would be very, very
confused. Well, yeah, you know, that's actually a good point. Think about it because so they're out fishing for people.
Yes.
Right.
They're trying to make money.
They're bringing them in.
Yes.
And what are they going to say to these kids? They're going to go, well, I'd love to go, but I really can't afford it. Well, guess what? We have a loan program, a student loan program.
Yes.
But by the way, you'll probably won't have to repay. Right. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
So, yeah. Why should you have to repay it when nobody else does anymore?
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, it's almost like this circle of sucking people in, getting them hooked on a student loan, and then forgiving the loan later on.
All right. So our Gen Zers out there, if you're listening, we don't know how many young people listen to our show, but I think some do, just from the comments we've gotten.
Yeah.
So if you get one of these unsolicited offers in the mail, throw it away. Actually, better yet, shred it because it's going to have your name and other identifying information on it. And opt out of these mailings. Okay. Do not just say, oh, yay, college is going to accept me. Let's go.
Yeah. Not everybody has to go to college. FYI.
No. There are many jobs that we need filled that don't require college.
Amen.
Training, yes, but not college. All right. Anything else, Edward?
Well, I can't wait to have you back. That we'll have a fun time the following week.
Yes.
Next week and catch up on everything. See your bronze tan that you're going to bring back.
You know, I'm not going to get a tan.
You don't tan at all.
I don't freaking tan at all. Yeah. I don't. I burn, I peel, that's it. Thank you so much for joining us today. And please follow us on all social media. As Edward said, we will be back live next week, Sunday, July 28th at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST. And we stream live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And we really love it when you comment in real time on those channels. If you're listening to the podcast, which always drops the next day, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening right now. And you can support our show by joining our locals community. To become a member, go to myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. It will be in the show notes. So it's myfavoriteconservative.locals.com. It is free to join the community. If you want to support the show, which allows more engagement and more sort of Q&As with us, we do have a special going on right now. Our goal is to have 100 members by my birthday, 100 members. We're getting really close to my birthday, which is August 15th. So for the first 25 people who become a supporter, we're giving away a free 1 month trial with the promo code FREEDOM. So if you go to myfavoriteconservative.locals.com, join for free. But if you want to support us, get that free trial with the promo code FREEDOM. And with all things, if you want to follow us on social media, you want to email us, you want to leave us a voicemail, go to myfavoriteconservative.show. That is our website, myfavoriteconservative.show.
Sweet.
Anything else you want to share, Edward?
That's it. I want to see you do the hula when you get back.
I can't hula.
Oh.
No.
Really?
No. Right. I can't even do the hula hoop.
And you know, I'm a ballet dancer.
I know. Yeah. You know I'm a good dancer, but I can't. I can't. Sorry. Okay. All right. Aloha.